Mulana Sulaiman Mullah, Damat Barakatuh, is currently on a lecture tour of Australia, and Mulana speaks to us this morning from Australia. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to yourself, Mufti Saab, and all the Radio Islam listeners.
Mulana, how's it been going for you in Australia thus far? How's the weather been? How's the fast been?
Alhamdulillah, in terms of the fast, it's been really short and easy and simple. I'm back now in Brisbane, so the weather here in Brisbane is very much coastal, Durban light, so that's great. But 2 days we've spent in Melbourne, and that was again a reminder of our chilly weather in Johannesburg.
Well, we're looking at your Twitter timeline, and there's an interesting tweet, and Mona has stated that, "I'm deeply humbled and touched by a group of youth who drove 900 kilometers from Sydney to Melbourne to attend my humble talks." Mona, what's the enthusiasm like? What's the reception been like? What is the people's attitudes to talks of Deen in Australia?
Okay, Jazakallah khair to that, Mufti Saab. Before we proceed to that particular tweet and the development in Melbourne, maybe if you allow me, I'm just going to start off with Brisbane as such, because that's been the primary place where I've been based, and my host, Dr. Kasim Magda, may Allah reward him and his family. So the actual program was designed here in Brisbane, and then obviously we allocated 2 days for Melbourne. So, alhamdulillah, to start off, I came here last week, Wednesday, and my relation with Brisbane, alhamdulillah, goes back a good few years. So, I think this is, give or take, about my seventh or eighth visit to Brisbane, and it dates back to as early as 93. I was still a student, 17, 18 years of old, a good 20, 21 years ago. Hope I'm not giving my age away there, but anyway. So we came here for Ramadan as well, and alhamdulillah, I had led the Taraweeh in a place called Karabi. And for the record, that was the very known place where, unfortunately, post 9/11, the masjid that was burned down, it was that very same place. So I had come at that time in 93 and then 94 and then again in 2000, and subsequently the relation continued. So alhamdulillah, we had a first program in a place called here in Queensland, here in Brisbane, at a place called Flex Creek. So with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, last year I was here, and when I was here, at that time, this land and this particular place was just purchased, and it's a massive place, and it's a prepared structure, and it's got all going in terms of a facility, you know, rooms and the large prayer hall, adequate parking facility, etc. So it was a massive church. It belonged to the Rima Group Church. And alhamdulillah, there was a large, calling within the Muslim community in this location. You have predominantly a lot of Arabs here. And Imam Akram, who is well known to us here and is a very active scholar here and mashallah, well known among the fraternity of ulama, he, along with obviously people who rallied around him, they exploited the opportunity and they made a bidding for this particular place, and favorably, alhamdulillah, it was accepted. And in a short span of just under a year, they were able to successfully raise $2 million odd dollars, alhamdulillah. And he's got some amazing incidents of how people gave out, and he went to obviously Auckland and right across Australia. So last year, just before I had left, we had made a dua there. And it was just in a kind of, you know, finalizing the deal and concluding the event. And alhamdulillah, this year when I came, I felt the need, and likewise it was arranged accordingly that we have our first program there. So it was really well received, Mufti Saab, to echo with your sentiments. There were a lot of youth that had gathered there. There were a lot of the people. Obviously the fast is short. Isha is relatively early. So we have adequate time to, you know, have a good session post Taraweeh Salah. So I've been speaking averagely for an hour plus. So that was, just a breakdown on day one. Day two, then we had a program at Dara Masjid. That's again, you know, it's a very multicultural and cosmopolitan, and that's by and large Australia in its entirety when you look at the demographics of the Muslims and where they hail from. So there's a large Fijian community, and Dara per se is very much, housed and accommodated by the Fijian Muslims there. So alhamdulillah, it was very nice. Something noteworthy there, we met an imam who is leading the Taraweeh Salah, and he is a Burmese refugee. And he had come over here, and alhamdulillah, he had studied deen and everything. And so today, you know, currently he is leading the Taraweeh Salah. So that was also, alhamdulillah, very, very good encounter. Then we managed to have a program as well at Gold Coast. And obviously Gold Coast rings a bell to many of our listeners, our Maulana Imran Navi, who was obviously based in Laneja and in Nurul Islam for many years. He is based there, alhamdulillah. It's obviously a tourist place, and it is well known. It is a very frequently visited location. So this is a very, very amazing setup there. It's a very community-driven atmosphere, and the ambience is very amazing. We were there on Saturday, and typically, again, as I mentioned, multicultural. Mufti Sahib, if there's anything you need to ask me in between, please just stop me, and I don't want to just run away, and, you know, please stop me, and we can engage one another. So anyway, people would come, and then they would, you know, have a whole community iftar. So one day would be the Arabs cooking, one day would perhaps be people of Pakistani origin, one day would be people of Indian origin, and so on and so forth. So I think the day we were there, it was the Saudis that were cooking, the Arabs, mashallah, and a very warm spirit, a very, very caring atmosphere. And in fact, last year when I was there as well, I had a program, and we had an amazing development, because mashallah, people are really taken to Islam. And this is something I have said previously. In any other country, as much as you see in Australia, I doubt you would see it elsewhere. Probably in every masjid, you would see a brother or two, or if not more. And likewise, we are told on the side of sisters as well, that you'll see an Australian local white revert, mashallah. So there was a sister who had taken the Shahada. And when I asked her, you know, what intrigued her and what interested her into Islam, and she said that I had traveled to Indonesia and Malaysia, and I found it very, very amazing that prayer, you know, dictates the events of day and people, the format and the schedule of a day. And when the caller calls out the prayer for Azan, then everybody halts their activities. And subhanAllah, she said, that just struck a chord with me. And from there onwards, it was just, you know, going deeper and deeper into Islam. So yes, we had a program there. And then, in fact, I led the Taraweeh prayer as well, a few rakats. And it was a very good atmosphere, alhamdulillah. And we met up with, you know, took a little walk around, interacted with the people. So that was really, really a great atmosphere. Then the Friday Jummah, I performed it at the Holland Park Masjid. Again, Holland Park Masjid is a masjid that is over 100 years in existence. And again, I have a fond relation with this masjid. In that very early years, which I alluded to, I had the privilege of traveling with Maulana Rafiq Haturani Sahib, may Allah preserve him with Afia. So Maulana had led the Taraweeh Salah there, and people still have fond memories of that 93-94 Taraweeh Salah. And Imam Rain was a particular man that stood out for me, and he was a very, very impressive man. We obviously met with his children. So it's an amazing masjid. It's very old. It's got a long history. And it is also the Tablighi Markaz, so the Shabbat Jummah, etc., Jama'at activity take place from that masjid as well. So that was also a very great experience. And then obviously we had our first program at the Karabi Masjid, which was the masjid which was burnt, and then the new masjid that was developed and built subsequently. Just to put into perspective, Mufizab, at that time in 93-94, sure. And mashallah how things are, you know, unfolding and developing, when I had come, and we were offering Taraweeh prayer in this particular, you know, simple basic structure. And I still have a recollection that on the conclusion of Taraweeh, I had made a request to the people and the congregants that if they can try and honor Isha prayer at this prayer facility, because it was not active and vibrant and established throughout the day. I said, listen, we've come here, you've come here, and I've been performing the Taraweeh Salah, etc. Let's just start off if we can have Maghrib and Isha, or at least one prayer per day, and we can just honor that. And subhanAllah, today it's a fully fledged masjid, and it is a hub, and there's so much activity there. There are people in i'tikaf. It has exclusive ladies facilities. It has a maktab that is fully fledged. There are two huffaz reciting Quran. There is tahfiz that takes place, and that's a dedicated Quran memorizing place. And it just brings tears to the eyes. And really, this is, subhanAllah, the spirit, how it continues. I recall the first trip when I went to Canada in 2000, and alhamdulillah, the humble trip that I subsequently continued to go. What was the condition that time? And today, Toronto is probably, you know what, the hub of Islam in the greater North America. So alhamdulillah, Islam is really flourishing, and yes, that is very, very, you know, comforting and soothing. We need to see that we are not left behind. You know, Islam is there and the deen is there and people are taking, and many, many people, mashallah, are reverting to Islam. Thereafter, alhamdulillah, we had a program at the ICB, that is the Islamic College of Brisbane. So this was also a good experience. And it so happened that at that particular time, there were some pre-arrangements made with the ABC channel, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, that they were just doing some rounds and they wanted to understand Islam better. So I think it was a good initiative from their side, and they were, you know, had their team and their crew and their journalists that were going out and doing some reporting at different locations and just trying to capture some footage and capture some recordings and post it in terms of appreciating and understanding Ramadan. I remember previously when I was here, there was a group of people that were wanted to probably, you know, again, from a journalist perspective, stay with a Muslim home or within a Muslim home and understand what Ramadan entails. So what is imsak, what is iftar, what is your Taraweeh prayer, how do you observe, how do we end? So they were there as well, and I had to speak as well and address that audience. So alhamdulillah, it was very well received. They appreciated the talk that was given, and likewise our people also, you know, appreciated it. So that was basically the few days in Brisbane. Then thereafter we moved out. That was Monday early morning. Yeah, we flew to Melbourne. So Melbourne obviously is in the state of Victoria, while Queensland, Brisbane is in the state of Queensland. It's about a two-hour flight here from here to Melbourne. And the time zones are the same, but obviously if you go beyond to Perth, there's a further time difference as well. Melbourne, again, like I mentioned, very cold, chilly, London-like weather, you know, gloom and rainy, multiple seasons in one day. Duration of the fast slightly shorter than Brisbane by about an hour, because imsak is at about 6:02 to be spot on, 6:02, and then iftar is at 5:15, so very much a short day. But in Melbourne, they say in the summer days, again, the fast is relatively long. So when I was telling them, mashallah, you people feature on one of the shortest fasts in the world, and they said, you know, this is a boon from Allah and perhaps a rewarding for the long fast that we observed. So alhamdulillah, we got there, and the first program that they had arranged for me was a dedicated and exclusive address to a panel of ulama. So this was quite an interesting development, not the easiest of tasks to address members of the common fraternity, but alhamdulillah, Allah made it possible, and we addressed in a private gathering, in a private sitting, some ulama, certain, you know, senior scholars also attended, and that was very kind of them. And they are heading an Islamic seminary there, and there are relatively quite a few young graduates. So I took a little feedback on their activities, and then obviously tried to inspire them in my humble way in terms of how we can amalgamate and work together and try and you know, just take it a notch further and relate to them. We do know, and again, this is the great, you know, the kindness of Allah upon us, that people look to South Africa as an inspiration and a motivation on probably all fronts in terms of Islamic activities, whether it is our makatib, our ulama, our institutions, our masajid, our radios, the efforts of tabligh, the activities that are taking place, people by and large take direction and inspiration from our country. So there is a sense of envy towards us, you know, and again, we need to credit that grace to Allah and the pioneers and the veterans in our country and the seniors that really did the initial hard work, and we just continue to reap their fruit. But it was a very good interaction. It was about an hour's talk. Alhamdulillah, that was wonderful. Then we had a very good program at in a place called Werribee. So this is the name of the masjid is Masjid al-Taqwa, and the imam is also a very, very interesting individual, Sheikh Abdul Azim Hafifi, of Egyptian origin. And he also, you know, he has multiple feathers to his cap. He is the Amir of ANIC, and ANIC basically represents the Australian National Imams Council. So, mashallah, he was very forthcoming, and he was very happy to accommodate me and the delegation that was with me. A very large community and a very big Islamic center. There's a beautiful ambience, you know, coming towards Taraweeh, and it's a very vibrant and a lit up place. So he made them, they generally would have a few rak'ats of Taraweeh. Thereafter they will have a discourse and then they will resume the Taraweeh. But they had changed the format to accommodate me and provide me with extended time. So after the Taraweeh prayer was over, prior to that announcement were made, and again, like I said, there's a large attendance of both men and women, very much a large, you know, Arab representation. And one of the brothers was telling me that 10 years ago, a decade ago, this was just barren land. It was not developed. And mashallah, now it's developed and populated and established, and there's this masjid. So they responded very, very well, mashallah. Had an overwhelming response. You know, people really came out and they were, you know, very much excited. Hello. And they thoroughly enjoyed the humble discourse. Post that, they arranged some snacks, etc., and just some socializing and interacting. And this is what it's all about. And alhamdulillah, where our scholars and ulama and huffaz continue to go, we get a glimpse and we learn to appreciate, and it broadens your horizons and you understand people in different backgrounds and their activities. But Ramadan has this unifying spirit. There's something electrifying about Ramadan wherever you are. It was a very, very good response, and it was a very, very good program. Alhamdulillah, there were many youth. You know, they had arranged for some dessert, etc., after the program. So there was a whole group of youth that had come down from Adelaide. And again, you know, today people follow you and monitor you on social media and YouTube, etc. So alhamdulillah, there were quite a bit of youth from Adelaide. Now, we didn't manage to reach out to Adelaide, but they were coming down. Many of them were going out in Khuruj as well, and many of them came specially, which is a good drive from Adelaide. That's besides the youth that I tweeted about. That's a good 700 kilometers. So it's a bit more further down. There are some South African Muslims also staying there. So they had come down just to come meet and socialize and spend time. So we had arranged a little social gathering at the dessert, place, and so we had some snacks, some interaction. It was nice spending time with them. So many of these people, one of the challenges that is serious here, and I think our country is no different, but like the one brother was telling us yesterday as we were coming back, and he was just giving us a little tour of Melbourne, and we were going on this Westgate Bridge, which is notorious and synonymous to suicide, is drugs, Mufti Sahab. It's really bad. And unfortunately, it has paralyzed the Muslim community, and many of our youth have been gripped and caught up. But when I was hearing it's absolutely appalling, and it is way beyond what I have heard and interacted here with. So there have been some horrific and horrendous tales of youth that have been gripped into the scourge of drugs. It has really corrupted many, many families. And tragically, many people have succumbed to that. But yet, you feel there were a few youngsters that had come, mashallah, and their lives have changed for the better. So you see the odd tattoo, etc., but there's remorse on their face, and they've come out. So it's very much that youth and that energetic and that bro lingo and you know, reaching out in a very different approach. But you've got to really appreciate where they're coming from and how freely, unfortunately, these substances are available. And they were giving me the names, and I was... cross-reference to the kind of abuse that is happening in us with, you know, crystal mafios, etc. And the same things, unfortunately. And in fact, my host was telling me where he also has been working in the prison and both, you know, Muslim and non-Muslim. And he said that he had met with a particular inmate, and this young girl, unfortunately, had succumbed to the scourge of drugs. And when asking her and inquiring from her what was her budget that she was spending on drugs per day, and you would be alarmed to hear this, she said $3,000 Australian a day.
Wow.
And obviously, like, where do you get the money? 3,000, you know, what times it by 10? 30,000 rand per day. And the answer was simple: fraud. So, you know, it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. So, when you speak to the youth and those that have come into Deen and they appreciate the Deen, then immediately there's this overwhelming regret, and there is someone caught up and involved. So drugs, especially what I was hearing in Melbourne, and obviously I met with quite a bit of youth who have come out of that dark life and have come into light. They really, you know, urged me to continue coming and having more programs and reaching out. And time was short. They wanted to facilitate an exclusive address for youth, in a private gathering, but it was Ramadan again. In fact, while we were gone, because Melbourne is very much divided into your north, south, etc., So while we were going to one of the programs, there was a youngster again who had come a long way and had waited there by the house in addition to 2-3 hours. Just, she said, I would just love to meet the sheikh and spend some time with him. So it was quite a humbling experience. And then, yes, exactly as you mentioned, which I rightfully tweeted, and I was, you know what, in tears. A car of youngsters absolutely exclusively drove 900 kilometers all the way from Sydney to Melbourne purely to attend the program. So they arrived there the previous day at 11 p.m. and they left early morning and they drove right through, and he said, Sheikh, it was such a good thing and we really wanted to meet you and attend your talk, and we made iftar on the way. And then I met them the next day, and that brings me to my other program, and that was in a place called Hallam. Hallam. And I must pay credit here to our Maulana Uzair Ali, that's the son of Maulana Abbas Ali, mashallah. We know Maulana Abbas is a veteran and he's a pioneer in terms of the effort and the early sacrifices in Australia. And mashallah, his son is based in Melbourne, and he has an academy there because they're trying to establish the makatib system. And again, the makatib system is not so flourishing like we have. And I want to reiterate this. We need to value and appreciate. Before Ramadan, I was in Canada, and just before that, I was in France. And again, we had some, I had to speak at some events there in France, in Paris. And while mashallah Islam is loud and it's vibrant and it's tangible, but if there's a lack and there's a shortfall in anything, it's the maktab. And we don't appreciate that how easy and how simple it is to just enroll our children and send them there. And that elementary Islamic education, that attire, those values, those principles, all that gets ingrained into them at a very early stage. And when there is this vacuum, then you realize that this whole gap and this period just lapses by, and there is no basic Islamic education. So if I could seize and exploit the moment and reiterate upon our parents and humbly request them to keep our children connected to reputable makatib and let them continue even beyond, because this is important. This is the things on which they would fall back in their later years in terms of the Islamic identity. If anything is going to insulate and inoculate and fortify them against the onslaught and the attack and ground them in their faith, it's these early years and this elementary learning. So, alhamdulillah, when I had
Mullah,
this
we're talk, running out of time. We're running out of time, okay. But there's just one question that we'd like to get from Mullah. Mullah, you've given us a very interesting overview and perspective on Islam in Australia, and also, you know, the multicultural background to the communities and also the Islamic infrastructure. Now, on a personal level, I'd like to ask Mullah that, you know, you've been to Paris, then followed by that, you visited Canada, now in Australia, and you're giving lectures 1 hour or sometimes 2 hours a day, two lectures in a day. On a personal level, you know, it must be taking a great strain on your body, being separated from your family. What is the motivation? What keeps you going?
JazakAllah khair, Muftisab. That was very, very kind of you and very, very thoughtful of you to say that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. Yes, unfortunately or fortunately, it does happen. It does fall upon us, and we do feel that strain. In fact, you know, my little daughter, she keeps on saying, Abba, you come and you leave. Abba, you come and you leave. And may Allah reward our parents and our family for the sacrifices that they make. The programs do talk. I think one of the challenges for me with the extensive travel, someone said to me the other day, he said, Sheikh, you're traveling so much, I guess you're going to start reading Qasr Salah at home as well. I think one of the challenges is the jet lag that really tolls on me. The second thing is people mean well to invite you everywhere and for you to grace them, but it does take its toll on you, because it's climatizing, it's adapting, it's change of format, it's change of pattern. So yes, it does take a toll, and it does somewhat, you know, at times you do feel it. If there is a motivation, you know, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your meager effort. Like yesterday, you know, in Melbourne, and I'm going to wrap up on this, it was a really, really busy day. And we were not sleeping earlier than 1 a.m. every day, because it's traveling. And then when you're done, would you come here? Would you make a dua? Would you visit this place? Would you observe this here? Would you just bless it and the rest of it? And then I get a phone call that, Sheikh, how far are you? And I said, we're on our way. He said, okay, there's a brother here. He's waiting for 2.5 to 3 hours. He just wants to meet you for a moment. And you're like, oh my word, subhanAllah, I'm so exhausted, but subhanAllah, there's a brother that has come. And he then tells you something and you cannot believe it. He says, Sheikh, you're not going to believe this. I listen to you every single day and I watch you and I listen to you. And the other day, there were 3 days ago, there was an argument at home and I told my mom, if there's any person I would want the direction from, you know, referring to my humble self. And my mom said to me, but when will you ever meet him? You talk of him, but you'll never meet him. And I said, you never know, Allah will one day bring him to Melbourne. And he said, I had no clue, no idea whatsoever. And literally before I came here, I got wind to discover that you were here. So I think Allah sends you these kind of reminders to just give you some form of glad tidings. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith in Bukhari where the companion said, we pray to please Allah. But sometimes while we praying to please Allah with the motivation to impress Allah, somebody in this world acknowledges you, O Prophet of Allah, and we like that acknowledgement. We're not motivated by that acknowledgement, but obviously it gives us a sense of satisfaction. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min," and that is the instant glad tidings for a believer in this world. So we pray to Allah Ta'ala that He accept our meager and our humble efforts, and across the world, our hosts, they go out of their way wherever we go to welcome us and receive us. May Allah reward them handsomely. And inshallah, we just hope that whoever, you know, the key thing is that you see other people and you see their sacrifices, and then you realize that, you know what, deen is great and it's wholesome and everybody is making their contribution, and only, you know, kul kullu ya'malu ala shakilatin fa rabbukum a'lamu biman huwa ahda sabila, that ultimately Allah knows, and it is only Allah that would accept, and Allah that would reward and compensate, inshallah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the sacrifices for the propagation of deen. May Allah make it easy. And we look forward to having Mawlana back in South Africa shortly, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for the insight,
Mawlana. Just the last one, that the ladies program that I had, there was something unique about that. That was an Albanian community. Now, you know, it was so amazing. And this is the beauty of the multicultural. And like I said, when I was in France, And you know, you have your own eating diets and restrictions, and people say, Sheikh, you must eat this. This is a Moroccan speciality, and this is a Tunisian speciality, and my wife is French, and I'm Moroccan, and this is half-half, and you've got to enjoy this here. And this was purely Albanian, you know, and mashallah, what a beautiful atmosphere. And I spoke for like 1 hour, 15 minutes, and the imam stood up, and he said, Sheikh, we want more of you. Please carry on and just continue. And I'm like, brother, please, I have other programs and engagements as well. So it was very, very nice atmosphere. People had come, men had come, and the masjid was full. It was really good. But once again, Jazakallah to you, Muftisab, and to the Radio Islam team. May Allah Ta'ala preserve you and preserve our infrastructure and our deen. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala continue to take you from strength to strength.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair for the du'as and all the best for the remaining part of the trip. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana Sulaiman Mullah speaking to us from Australia. Mawlana has had an extensive tour of Australia as he's been sharing with us all the various programs that he hosted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to use him for the deen. It's really an honor to the South African Muslim community that we have a scholar of this caliber from within our own community.